This is episode 7. Thank you guys for tuning in. We are actually in the new studio, but I apologize if there is an echo. I don't have anything set up yet. It is just blank walls. I do have some soundproofing foam on the way. Got a new desk, a new mic. So things will be looking good. Things will be sounding good. Hopefully in the next 2 weeks, it'll be all completely finished. But baby steps, my friends. I'm sitting on a metal folding chair with everything on a TV tray. So I feel like I am watching my favorite team lose while waiting for my wife to bring me a chicken pot pie. And if that pot pie is cold, she will be Stone Cold Steve Austin through the TV tray. Just painting the visual of how this setup looks. All right. I walked in to shoot the, to start the episode. And it's weird just having just a laptop in a completely empty room set up. I'm like, am I hacking into the Pentagon? What is going on? This looks like how Edward Snowden was set up when they raided his apartment. He's like, damn, how'd you guys find me? I was on a VPN. So we're here, episode 7, new area, new studio. We'll be set up soon. We actually have a special guest. We'll talk about him later in the episode. We'll have a bonus episode Thursday. Did about 2 hours, so that'll be some little extra audio for you guys. Saw something today that actually made me really happy. It was two kids hanging out in front of a 7-Eleven, like old school, like Jay and Silent Bob, just chilling. Bikes on the, leaning up against the wall. They were sitting up there drinking Slurpees, eating Cheetos, and talking shit about everyone that walked in to the store. I came out and I was like, look at this, man. You don't see this anymore. One guy walked in with a limp and they were like, did you see the way that moron walked in? Like made fun of him. And I'm like, I want to hang out with these kids. These kids are funnier than half my friends. A Slurpee is so classic. I don't know if that always made me feel good. A nice Slurpee. Because that's how I knew it was Friday. After school, elementary school, we'd all jump on the skateboards, head over to the 7-Eleven and get Slurpees. Who doesn't like a Slurpee? Italian ice that you can drink through a straw. And we were blessed. We had 6 flavors at all times. That dude kept it up. Most 7-Elevens, they only have 2 flavors. That's heartbreaking. What do you do for summer break? That's how you knew it was summer break. You mixed all the flavors. People are like, you're crazy, man. Mountain Dew, Coca-Cola, and Berry Blast. You're like, we don't have school tomorrow. Hell yeah, dude. Fit everything in. And don't do that rookie shit either. You got to put the lid on first. That way you can fill up the ice all the way to the top. Don't cheat yourself. That's why they have the bubble lid. I've seen some of these kids. That's how you know they weren't raised right. They didn't have good parents. If you just filled it to the lid of the cup and then put the top on, you ain't going to survive the apocalypse. If you ain't filling your Slurpee to the top, what are you going to do when the zombies come? You have no life skills. We were sneaking an extra dollar worth of product into the cup. Today is what? Sunday, the 14th. Oh, man, it was like 9-11 a couple days ago. It's always kind of a, it's a sad day. Everyone knows what happened, but it's annoying when people post just a photo of it. It's like, that's not helping anyone, And what really doesn't help anyone? When people just feel the need to tell you where they were in conversation, like all day on 9-11, you'll hear people be like, oh, I remember where I was. Were you in the tower? No? Okay. I remember where I was. Well, were you downtown Manhattan? No, I wasn't. I was in Idaho. Well, then nobody cares. No one ever starts their story with, I was on the 40th floor. And you're like, holy shit, this is going to be good. No one was ever like, I was the one who hit the button that detonated Tower 6. You know, Building 7, how it fell at the speed of gravity? Yeah, I was the one who sold the bombs for that. It's never that guy. It's just like, I was in the 7th grade, Miss Williamson's class. No one cares. You weren't in the building, near the building, on the building. You weren't in charge of the inside operation. Then I don't want to hear it. Okay? No one cares that you were in the first grade and you got sent home early. Right? Everyone has that story. Sorry. Just got to put that out there. So come next year, guys, remember, you know, post a remembrance, your nice visual, but don't just up and tell everyone that you were in first grade and it was horrible and you remember it like it was yesterday, because I'm just trying to buy groceries, okay? I don't need you telling me that in line. In other news, there was a young kid suspended from online school because, you know, everything's on Zoom now. So this kid apparently had the computer up, had the Zoom meeting going, the webcam, and he ran in front of the screen holding a Nerf gun or some kind of, like, it was this green pistol with an orange tip and it said like zombie killer on it. And the teacher fucking reported him and he got suspended from online classes. We're suspending people from online. If I got suspended, I've been suspended from real school. All right. You go home. You know, your parents will forgive you. And be like, hey, look, you know, I'm going back next week. All right, I'm going to take a week off. I'm going to study. You know, you lie. I'm going to really get my shit together. I'm going to use this time to learn from my mistakes. And they're like, all right. You just end up getting better at Call of Duty for 5 days, you know. Your friends get online. They're like, dude, how are you level 50? You're like, dude, I had 5 days off. I got all the guns. Yeah, so this kid gets suspended from online school. What did they think? He was going to shoot up his online class? It's so embarrassing. I mean, I get it. Like, he had a toy gun on camera or whatever. But it's like, the kid was like 9 years old. What is he going to do? The new school shooter, if everything stays online, would be the kid that can hack. You know? The kid that's like, just control alt delete, pew, pew, just shutting everyone off. You know, that'd be the only way. It would be a mass hacking. Guess it's safer, but I mean, they're like, the kid had ADD. He had no idea what he was doing. I'm like, dude, if I'm just listening to the teacher on my computer, I'm going to be in the back shooting my Nerf gun. All right. Sorry. You can turn my camera off. I'll be listening, but I'm definitely going to play with my toys in my room. Dude, if you're, think about this. You're 9 years old. You're in your room at your house, your safe space. You got your toy bin. While the teacher's talking on a screen, you're telling me you're not going to pop the toy chest and let off a couple rounds at the dinosaurs in your room? Bro, I'd have plastic army men set up. You can suspend me from online school. Oh, great. You know, the kid was like, he was sad. He was crying. He was like, the parents were saying he was traumatized. They actually sent the police to his house, which is way over the fucking top. But they were like, we're going to keep the same rules online that we do in school. I'm like, what? So I can't chew gum on the Zoom class? It's just getting out of hand, man. It's like, let the kids just be, dude. If you have a room, dude, I would have the laptop from my chest up. That would be where the camera was, and I would look right over the top of my computer and be playing Xbox if I did online school in, like, the 4th grade. I don't know, man. We got to get our shit together, dude. So next week we will have my buddy Michael Kausi. He's a really cool dude, man. I met him in Arizona, that big debacle, but I wouldn't change it for the world. Wild time out there. I was in New York at the time. Things were not going very well. I'd already lived in the city, you know, 2-3 years doing stand-up. That's where I started out there. And I needed I needed something, man. So I hit up a guy I used to work with, and he was saying, you know, oh, we're all selling pest control in Arizona door to door. Now, I know that sounds crazy to the average person, but hear me out. Door-to-door sales, if you know what you're doing, you can make a lot of money really quickly. It's annoying, it's hot as shit, and you're going to get a lot of door slammed in your face. But if you know how to sell a product door-to-door quickly, then you know you can make quick money. So my plan was leave everything in New York, go to Arizona for 4 months, and just make enough money to come back to Manhattan and put a year down on an apartment. And I was going to say, look, I'm going to do stand-up every night for a year. I'm going to be at every club. I'm going to network. And if it doesn't pay off in a year, then so be it. But that was just my goal. So I end up going to Arizona. And in the door-to-door industry, if you travel, they'll pay for your apartment as long as you make the allotted amount of sales. So I knew, I go, okay, I have housing. I have a bed. You know, I have my car with me. You know, all I got to do is make these sales, get in, get out. But that didn't happen. I ended up living in an apartment with really nice people. The problem is they were ex-heroin addicts, and they all relapsed while I was there. So they were all making good money when I got down there. Everything was good. I'm going through the training, like, okay, this is how you sell pest control. You know, this is the new pitch, right? So I'm down there. And all of a sudden, this kid's like, oh, I got to connect. And he starts selling pills to all the kids that we worked with in the apartment complex. They'll basically rent out like a whole two buildings, and then all the sales reps will live there. And every day they go out into the field and then come back, right? So it's 124 degrees, Arizona. I'm out there knocking, and it was just awful. You know, like you made a few sales, but it wasn't the money that I was promised. So I was basically like, holy shit, I'm stuck in Arizona with heroin addicts selling pest control. And dude, it was horrible. I had my girlfriend send me like $200. I ended up driving Lyft out there. You know, getting invited to those crazy parties out in like Paradise Valley, you know, just from meeting these people. And it got really bad. The cartel actually came to the unit because someone had stolen cocaine. I don't know. These kids were out of fucking control. And once the cartel showed up, I was like, I'm out of here, man. I got to figure it out. And I've always heard this guy's name. They're like, oh, Mike. You know, Mike's an asshole. He gets really angry, da da da. And I'm like, I want to meet this guy, Mike. And he lived on the other side of the complex by himself. And he's like, you know, I met him a couple times, but, you know, we never really met. And I just hit him up out of the blue and I said, hey, man, I got to get out of here. You know, they're throwing parties every night. Kids are fighting. Kids are stealing from each other. You know, it was just a frat house out of control. And I'll tell you this, the worst part about living with heroin addicts is they'll eat all your food, and then by the time you go to confront them, they've overdosed. You know, like I would come home and be like, Rylan, did you eat all my chips and guac? Oh, you're overdosing. I'm sorry. Let me close the door here. Leave you alone. That's always an awkward call to their parents. You know, you're like, hey, Miss Johnson, I just want to let you know your son ate all my food. And then she's like, well, why are you telling me this? You know, why are you telling me this? Go talk to him. And you're like, well, that's also why I'm calling. anyway, that's dark. But yeah, man, it was a rough time. And I hit this guy, Mike, up out of nowhere. I was just like, hey, man, I know you have an extra bedroom. Like, can I come stay there? You know, I do my own thing. I won't bother you. Da, da, da. He's like, yeah, man, come through. I came in and dropped my stuff off. He was chilling on the couch, and we just, like, I set all my stuff up. I'm like, hey, thanks for letting me, like, be here. You know, I'm just driving Uber until I figured out my next move. So I'm just living in this apartment with this guy, Mike, and then we ended up talking just about anything and everything. And then we both realized, like, we have the same, you know, we're both looking for answers. You know, why are we here? You know, on this planet, what's, you know, what's our purpose? You know, he was into the same stuff, conspiracies, quote unquote, you know, just stuff and knowledge that people don't seek on the day-to-day basis, you know, versus just the typical go to work, come home and not really question your surroundings. And we would talk deep, man. And he, at night, he'd go out on the balcony and he would look at the stars and he would say, you know, this is this constellation. And I'm a Gemini. This is where I come from. And I ended up just listening way more than I spoke. And really, really intelligent guy, man. He's up in Ohio now. He sprays for pest control, but he's super conscious. And he'll be on the, I'm going to release it Thursday. It's 2 hours. And just kind of how we navigated and survived that whole experience. And we just touched on a ton of things, man. And some of it, a lot of people aren't ready for. You know, Admiral Byrd, you know, the solar system, the firmament, you know, things that a lot of people don't really know about and don't really care about at the end of the day. You know, we were joking that most people just want to watch their favorite shows, and as long as they're in their little comfort bubble, nothing really matters. So we'll be talking about all that stuff. He was actually... The thing that blew my mind with Mike, man, was he told me, you know, he was in New Orleans for Katrina. He was a kid when it happened, and he just talked about how the water came in, and, you know, he was like, you're just standing there with your family, and the water in your house is up to your knees. And he just talked about, you know, the craziest thing, man, is he got evacuated to the Superdome, the football stadium in New Orleans, and he said it was really cool, man. Everyone came together. For like the first 2 weeks, everyone had their sections. Everyone was spaced like 10 feet apart, each family. And you're just living in the stadium. And he's like, but then eventually it got to be like, yo, keep your fucking food away from my stuff. And like, you know, move that bag of chips. And people were like getting on each other. And it became scary that people were getting raped and stabbed. And he was like, it just was like kind of a big, it turned into like a big prison. And it was just wild, man. Some of the stuff he had just from living through that. And, you know, I consider him a good friend. He got me out of that situation, and, he's just super intelligent to talk to. So I didn't do much talking on the Thursday episode, but I hope you guys enjoy that. It's always interesting hearing his perspective on certain things. And that being said, man, I do miss LA a little bit, man. There's no more crackheads. You know, when you drive around Florida, you know, the only people walking are just people going to get groceries, you know, people with DUIs. You know, that's the only people that really walk are just people who fucking can't have a license anymore. And so, and I was just thinking, and people are really nice, especially in traffic. So I'm driving, right? And I have my blinker on and I'm like, yo, I'm going to merge over. And the car behind me, instead of just speeding up and going past me, like slammed on the brakes to like let me over. And then it messed me up because I'm like, just go around me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, there's something about New York and LA or any big city where they just don't give a fuck. And there's a mutual like, hey, I don't care about you and you don't care about me. And there's just something beautiful to like, you just know that no one's going to let you over. And it's just like, okay, I'm going to have to fight my way into this lane. But then when people are like nice, I feel like that's what causes the accidents. Honestly, there's so many wrecks down here. And it's like some people are just being too nice and getting T-boned. I think that's really what it is. So you miss the street shows. You know, every bus stop in Los Angeles, there was a guy just fucking doing the worm. And you're like, is he really dancing or is that meth just that good? So I miss the crackheads. I miss the Persians. Where are all the Saudi princes? You know, I'm supposed to be in an area. They're like, ooh, this is one of the nicer parts of Orlando. And I go, where are the Ferraris? Okay. No one has a McLaren. Where are the Saudi princes? Just blowing their engine in front of the CVS. I miss it, man. Nothing better than just a parade of oil money. Just a parade of million-dollar cars coming down the street, knowing that none of them worked for it. They just happen to live on oil. That's wild to think, right? If we never used oil, the Middle East, like Dubai, wouldn't even be a thing. They're just still over there kicking rocks. You know, now they're going on two wheels in a BMW X5 because they can. Brother, if we flip this one, we'll buy three more. Don't worry, brother. It's out of control, man. Just the level of... It's like they're worthless. Like a Lamborghini to a Persian in Beverly Hills is... It might as well be like a Prius. It's just like, oh yeah, it's just my car. Like, anyone with a nice car in LA, it was destroyed. Like, the rims were cut up. The bumpers would be missing paint, and you're like, most people, if they buy it, if they, you know, make it far enough to where they can afford a car at that level, $250,000, $1 million, they treat it like pristine, man. Like, just, they're humbled by it. You wash it, you keep it clean. But when you're just trash and you're like, you just have a level of wealth where kind of like material things don't really even matter, and you, even though you think they do, you know, the level of like just blonde woman in a Range Rover just scraping the curb on the way out of the parking lot. And they're like, oh, I don't care. The new one comes out next year. You know, it's just, that's what'll make you mad, is when people just don't respect what they have. So that'll be episode 7, guys. Didn't do a half hour, but we came close. There'll be 2 hours on Thursday. Again, Instagram at Sean Madden Comedy. There is a YouTube channel for this. Just type in the hall at Sean Madden. If you want to watch me just rant in a room by myself, cool. But when the studio is set up, we will have it so people can call in. And I'm excited about that. Just let it grow. I'm getting a lot of positive feedback from you guys. And it just makes me want to keep going. So I appreciate all that. And we will see you next time. Episode 8 on Thursday.